This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we're speaking with Dr. Sandy Scott-Nicky, the author of the book Beyond Soap, The Real Truth About What You're Doing to Your Skin and How to Fix It for a Beautiful, Healthy Glow. She is a practicing dermatologist with over 20 years of experience and is the founder of Toronto's Bay Dermatology Center and an assistant professor in the Department of Medicine Divisions of Dermatology and Occupational and Environmental Health at the University of Toronto. She is a consultant dermatologist at Toronto's St. Michael's Hospital and also a well-known expert on skin irritants. She is one of Canada's top dermatologists, and that certainly makes a lot of sense. And Dr. Scott-Nicky, welcome to eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And you're more than welcome. Certainly is our pleasure to have you today with us. So for starters, tell us, why did you write the book Beyond Soap?
Well, my academic interest is something called contact dermatitis, or things that people could get exposed to on their skin, so touching, contact, that they can become allergic to. And it's sort of a small group of dermatologists around the world that subspecialize in this. And over the 20 years that I've been doing this, we have seen this dramatic increase in patients reacting to their personal care products. It just seems to be epidemic. And, you know, it gets frustrating for us as dermatologists because you kind of work in silos in medicine, and sometimes the information doesn't get disseminated to the general public. So I wanted to write the book to, there's so much information on skincare and so much written, and a lot of it's about beauty. This book is not a beauty book. It's a book about skin health, or a pathway to health. Anybody who's ever had an issue, or they have issues, or they've had an issue, if you want to sort of cut through all the stuff that's out there, because I'm the scientist who has a background in ingredients that actually cause problems, whether that's natural or synthetic. And I really wanted to help people. Most of it, too, was my patients said, you should write a book. Like, you're good at explaining this. I understand. It's the first time I understand what I should and shouldn't be doing. So that was really the part of the reason for writing the book.
And we're certainly appreciative of your taking the time and the effort to do that. So thanks so much. Now, why do most people think being clean means that they are clean?
Oh, the cleanliness thing, you know, that wasn't really the part of, like, that's not why I started to write the book. It was really about what's in skincare that causes reactions. But what I found is if you've ever done a big project and you start researching, you often go down different pathways. And what I found was we sort of have this sensitive skin epidemic, right? Like 40% of the industrialized world believes they have sensitive skin, which is, you know, they easily get red or reactive. The question again was why is that? And I think a lot of it has to do with how we wash and clean. We don't need to clean if we're not dirty. We don't need to shampoo your hair twice a day. Like, some guys will come in and they're itching, and I'm like, well, how often do you wash your hair? Well, I wash it every morning, and when I work out, I wash my hair again. And I'm like, why? Why are you doing that? So there's this sort of it's because it's been ingrained in us culturally through marketing and the beauty industry. And I'm just trying to have people take a look at the science as to what is that actually doing to your skin, number one. Is it necessary for health, which it isn't? And explain it very, very scientifically and easily. This isn't a postulation. Like, it's not my opinion. It's actually backed up by science that cleanliness is very different than hygiene. Hygiene is arguably only necessary. It's only necessary to wash your hands to be hygienic. All the rest of the stuff we do to our body is cultural norms. Of course, no one wants to smell bad. Of course, no one wants greasy hair. But there's a point where you can overdo it. And I also explain a lot about not just the fact that it's not necessary, but it may have actually caused disease or led to disease over the last 100 years.
And that certainly should be a wake-up call for the listeners, no doubt about that. Now, what are the challenges with washing too often?
Well, I mean, if you wash, like a lot of, in Canada anyway, where it's cold in the winter, when you wash too often, you get dry, itchy skin in the winter. I like to explain, and I explain it in the book, very basically the science of the skin. Skin, it's very useful to think of the skin like a brick wall. And the bricks are the cells of the outer skin layer, and then the mortar is this sort of fat or lipid layer. And if you understand what water and soap does to this brick wall, essentially water itself can remove the mortar. The hotter the water, the more it will remove the mortar. And soap, traditional like bar soap that is high pH, you know, milled soap that is sort of like the natural type of smaller companies that make soap. These are really harsh on the skin because they remove the fat layer of the skin. So now you have a brick wall that's got holes in it, or it's crumbling. So if you have that crumbling wall, you can get itchy. You can get dry. It's more in the winter because lower humidity. But the some of the research is if you do this in children, if we damage that brick wall in children, are we setting them up for things like eczema and allergies? There was an article written 2 weeks ago in the Annals of Immunology and Allergy that linking the skin barrier. So skin barrier is this fancy medical term we use for this brick wall, and peanut allergy. So if we've damaged our brick wall with overwashing, in particular in infancy or children, are we somehow setting them up for allergy and eczema? The science isn't 100% there, but we know that the incidence of these diseases has skyrocketed since 1940, 1930, and it cannot be explained by genetics. So it has to be somewhat environmental, and one of the things that is being looked at is how we wash our skin and what soaps and detergents we use.
Also, Dr. Scott Nicky, what is the difference of being clean and being hygienic?
Right. So I did a lot of research on that, and I actually interviewed a professor. She was wonderful, from the London School of Hygiene, and this is sort of her life's work. And I quote her in the book, and I discuss how she differentiates the two. So being hygienic is basically decreasing your chance of getting a communicable disease, an infectious disease. Something like washing your hands after you come home from the subway, or pretty much that's it. Washing hands. Like washing hands that helps decrease the chain of infection or the transmission of infection. Cleanliness is the absence of dirt, the feeling of just being clean, or social acceptability. Cleanliness has very little to do with hygiene. There's a great article written by Dr. Larson, who is with the CDC, and she basically says, which I agree with, that showering and bathing has more aesthetic purposes than any kind of microbiological purpose. It's really a cultural norm. The history of being clean is quite fascinating. If you look back at, soap was the first beauty product, and before antibiotics, I mean, you could die if you got an infection. So being clean was necessary. But then what happened was, once soap got linked with beauty, and that it could increase your ability to advance in society, get a partner, make you more beautiful, soap sales went through the roof. And again, soap became not a tool of just hygiene, it became a beauty product. And that's really the advent of the beauty industry. It's kind of interesting to think that soap was the first beauty product, and it was what started the beauty industry.
Today we are speaking with Dr. Sandy Scott Nicky, the author of the book Beyond Soap, The Real Truth About What You Are Doing to Your Skin and How to Fix It for a Beautiful, Healthy Glow, who has over 20 years of experience as a practicing dermatologist here on eHealth Radio's Dermatology and Skincare channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, why is there an increase of skin irritants and allergies more today than in the past?
Well, I think part of it is just the sheer number of products we have. the sheer number of ingredients and products, many of them unnecessary. And I, you know, I'm going to put it out there. There's not enough regulation. I mean, I don't know if I think it's very timely with the launch of my book that the FDA commissioner, Scott Gottlieb, came out on May 8th and said, yes, we need more oversight in cosmetics and personal care products. We only have 25 people assigned to the FDA that on staff that look after cosmetics and personal care products, which, by the way, is a $400 billion worldwide industry. It seems like they need more help. And the other problem is, I can speak to Canada in a second, but in the U.S., your Cosmetic Act hasn't been updated since 1938, and it's regulated by itself. So the trade regulates itself, which, you know, you could imagine could pose a conflict of interest. There are certain groups that monitor things, but I think that a lot of skincare contains ingredients that consumers don't understand. They don't know what's in their fragrances. Like fragrance, for example, on a label could mean another 30 ingredients, and many of those could be problematic and allergenic. The natural sort of botanical sector of skincare is just exploding. And again, not a lot of regulation. There was an article just a few weeks ago that showed tree tea oil and lavender oil in young boys caused breast development. They're endocrine disruptors. People get worried about parabens being endocrine disruptors, but I would argue that a lot of natural products have harm as well. So they need to be regulated. And it's such a huge industry. And part of the reason people have problems is because they use so many things, right? They're told they have to have a toner and a serum and a this and a night cream and a day cream. And before you know it, you have 10 products and your skin just says, I've had enough, like, and you get a reaction. And then the question is which one? What's a better one? Which one do I use? And that's partly the other reason I wrote this book is I have, because we were sort of bombarded by all these patients and we can't allergy test everybody, I said, I've got to think of a system that I can have people, you know, perform before they're allergy tested or while they're waiting to be allergy tested. And I called it the product elimination diet. It's sort of like a similar thing you would think of as a food diet. And they basically stop everything. I give them a subscribed list of products they can use. They clear up and they reintroduce. Part of the reason we have as dermatologists list and we make recommendations to patients is, again, it comes back to this labeling problem that because it's not regulated, if you hypoallergenic on a label or sensitive skin on a label or dermatology tested, it's not reliable. Some companies do a good job, but many don't. And then there's the knee-jerk response, if I have a rash or I'm having a problem, to go organic. Now, there are many good organics, but a lot of those will also cause reactions. So patients don't know what to do. And that's why I wrote this book, to help patients with that problem when they're having a reaction and they just don't know what to do.
Also, Dr. Scott, Nikki, what does one need to look for on a personal care product label?
It's the Wild West. That's part of the problem. Again, you have to read my book so you can understand labels. It's you can't go by the label, unfortunately. You can't even go by brand anymore. Like we used to, as dermatologists, say, okay, go get Dove or go get Aveeno. Like Aveeno has 20 SKUs. Like 20, they have one with lavender, one with this, one with Feverfew. The original one is great. And for many other people, some of those other ones with scents and stuff will be fine, but they have so many. There's a thing I talk about in the book called horizontal segmentation of the market. And it's a business. Beauty is a business. And, you know, you've got a product that's really great, and you go, okay, I'm going to segment this horizontally through you know, one's going to be for night, one's going to be for day. We're going to add one with scent. We're going to add one with some natural stuff to satisfy that part of the market. And the more, you know, you segment your brand horizontally, the more you sell. So, and that leads to problems for consumers because I can't tell people to just go get a brand now. I can't tell people to just go get hypoallergenic. What do you look for? I like skin-centered companies I'm going to just throw out some names here. I don't have any financial association, but things like Cetaphil, things like CeraVe, La Roche-Posay, these are companies that just do skin. They don't do beauty, and they don't have, you know, 5 or 10 different moisturizers. They have, you know, several that are just skin-focused. Less is more. I don't think fragrance is necessary in any skincare. I understand people like it, but if you're having a problem, go for fragrance-free. And there's an issue here with the fragrance-free labeling, because it can say fragrance-free, but it may contain an organic scent like lavender, so it's still truly not fragrance-free. You want to have no fragrance, okay? And then just less is more, less ingredients. When you see an ingredient list, it should be, technically, if you talk to chemists, you really only need 6 or 7, maybe 10 ingredients for a cream, a shampoo, or something to work. When you see 50, it's not necessary. You don't need all those ingredients. It just sets you up for a potential to have a reaction.
Most helpful details, and certainly appreciate your insight here today. Also, how can this book help people who suffer from eczema?
That's part of the reason I wrote the book. I mean, I see patients that are referred to me all the time with eczema, looking to be allergy tested because their eczema has gotten worse. And so the first thing I do is I go through everything that they're using from their head to their toe, and we remove anything. I put them on this product elimination diet, and the majority of them get better. So the book is really foremost for people with eczema, for sure. And there's so many misconceptions. And unfortunately, in your country and my country, a lot of people can't see a dermatologist, can't get to one in a timely fashion. So this can really help people, because medicine is part of treating eczema. But I like to use, and I use this analogy in my book, it's not perfect, but the analogy between asthma and eczema. So if you say to a patient, you know what asthma is, people have, their airway gets irritated. If they go into a smoky room, their asthma is going to get worse. And people look at me very strangely. They go, of course, yeah, everybody knows that. And I say, your skin's no different. Eczema and asthma are related. If you have eczema and you use the wrong shampoo with fragrance in it, you use some natural organic body wash and your detergent is fragrance, that's smoke for your skin. So your eczema will get worse. So you have to look at what you're doing on a day-to-day basis, and from your head to your toe, even your detergent, control that, and then you can use medicine for your eczema. But if you don't do the former, the medicine doesn't work.
So many questions we could ask you, but time doesn't permit. We got a couple of more. Another one is dirt good for the skin?
Yeah, so this is like the sensationalizing of, my book's not about not washing or not using soap. That's an attention grabber to get you to pick it up and look at it. Again, I'm going to defer to the professor from the London School of Hygiene, who is just brilliant, and she said, it's not about dirt. It's about the right kind of dirt. You know, like if you drop something on a busy street or in the subway, that's not the kind of dirt you want, right? What we've lost in that, I talk a little bit about the hygiene hypothesis in my book, is that we used to grow up on farms. Our water wasn't filtered. We didn't wash every day. We didn't have indoor plumbing. So the sort of dirt out that you see in green spaces and that kind of thing, that's what we're talking about. And it's not about being dirty. It's about not over-cleaning. And when you get into the shower and you don't need soap on your arms and your legs and your back if you haven't been out rolling in the mud. I mean, of course, there's the odor aspect, and definitely, wash under your arms. But, sudsing up your arms and your back when all you did the day before was stay in the office is really not necessary. The pollution factor is challenging. And, I live in a country where it's cold and we cover up a lot. But I was in New York. I've been to Asia. I mean, I think it's important to get the pollution off at the end of the day. And certainly water is a great solvent. You don't necessarily need soap over your whole body. And I don't like body washes in general for that reason.
And that is an eye opener. Lastly, how often should we wash or bathe?
It's very individual because it also depends on your whether you work out, where you live, if it's hot or polluted. I think what I want people to realize is that if you haven't really done anything, you don't need to scrub your whole body with soap or detergent. You know, I interviewed a fellow who hadn't used soap and shampoo in 10 years, but he showered every day. He went into the shower, 5 minutes. You know, water is a solvent. As we said, water dissolves the mortar in the skin. So it's just to think about, there's no perfect, there's no guideline. I will say this, though, the American Academy of Dermatology came out in 2016 to talk about children and bathing because we overbathe our kids. And that's something we can't control. You know, kids do not need to be bathed every day. It's not good for their skin. It can be harmful, and it can maybe lead to eczema, as we talked about. 2 to 3 times a week is sort of what's recommended now. You know, but if they've been outside making mud pies, then give them a bath. But if they haven't done anything, they don't need a bath. And for adults, it depends really on where you live and your extracurricular activities.
Dr. Scott Nicky, so informative, and I can't thank you enough for taking a moment to be with us here today on eHealth Radio. Where can listeners get further details on your book, pick up the book, and also be in contact with you as well?
Thank you. Yeah, my website is my name, basically, www.drsandy.com. I've got a blog on there. I've got all my information. I've got the product elimination diet, how to, you know, if you're having an issue, stop. I've got a list of what to do and how to reintroduce. And my book is available on Amazon, Google Play, and Barnes & Noble.
Beautiful. Again, Dr. Scott Nicky, thanks so much for taking a moment to be with us here today on eHealth Radio. All the best. And again, thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
And it's been more than our pleasure. We've been speaking with Dr. Sandy Scott Nicky, the author of the book Beyond Soap, The Real Truth About What You Are Doing to Your Skin and How to Fix It for a Beautiful, Healthy Glow, who has over 20 years of experience as a practicing dermatologist. And to learn more, simply visit drsandyscottnicky.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.